Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of our listeners on the Wise Women Media Radio Show. This is Anita Stewart. We want to thank our sponsors, Be Here Monsters, Roundtree 7, Daughters of Isis, and the Hoodoo Blog. We have a special guest tonight, Carolyn Moss. She's an award-winning songwriter, also an animal advocate and an activist. She has a lot to tell us about what happened to her personally and what is continuing here in this area north of Tampa. So I want to thank you, Carolyn, for being on the air with us.
Well, you're most welcome. I'm very, very pleased to be here.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about that song? You wrote that song, right?
Yes, I did. And I wrote it actually, obviously I was mad at someone. And I had remembered something from the John Montgomery Cliff movie, Red River, where I think that there's a point where the character turns around and says, no matter where you go, what part of the earth you go to, you know, just look behind you and I'll be there, something to that effect. I had seen the movie not that, far apart from writing the song. And I guess Montgomery Cliff was John Wayne's protege, and I guess he betrays him in the movie. And I think he shoots him as well. And so when I was in the studio recording that, we couldn't use a part of the movie because of the copyright. And we went to a sound effects record and found like a key going into a lock, which went down, sound like a pistol being cocked, you know? And then a friend of mine, a guy named Rudy's, he's done a lot of television and movies, and he does a lot of great voices. He came in like 2 o'clock in the morning and did his best John Wayne. So that was quite wonderful. I haven't really listened to it in a long time. It's really good. I was surprised because, I'm usually pretty critical on my stuff. And I was actually pretty much enjoying it, especially, when George came in, because that was cool. And it pretty much sums up the way I'm feeling right now, that's for sure.
Did you do the lead on that also?
No, but I do the thing in the beginning. The lead guitar is David Landau. He's a wonderful, wonderful guitar player, and he was sort of my onstage foil at the time, and he played for a while and had been working with Warren Zevon. And when Warren, I think, got out of rehab, he went back with him. I think it was right after this record was made. But, I played the thing in the beginning. And that used to be an awful lot of fun on stage because we got the vibrato on the guitar, so it sounds kind of like this real Western sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I know Warren Zevon was always having, he had quite a substance abuse problem, but that inevitably was what did him in.
Probably. But he was a brilliant guy and a person. And I was a big fan of his, you know, when he first, that first record that came out with Werewolves of London. I mean, that was a record, absolutely great. But I think I remember stories of him having to be pretty much carried to the piano and then removed when the show was over, you know. It's tough. I mean, it's an easy business, I think, to get involved in that kind of stuff.
Well, people lose themselves in it is what happens. They just lose themselves. And I don't know if it's...
pressure, they lose themselves, or people just feed off of you and discard you so easily that it's very easy to feel worthless and exploited.
Yeah, it's for a lot of people, it's a sacrifice that they pay for their art, which is really sad.
The things that people will endure in order to either be famous, you know, some people do it for the fame, but the humility, you know, I mean the treatment that you have to go through, it's tough. I admire people who can actually put up with that.
Right. Now we wanted to talk a little bit about the story of your story, which I thought last time we talked that was something you were going to put behind you, but you've decided, you've come to kind of like a fork in the road, and you've decided to push the river somewhat. So I will let you tell the audience exactly what happened, and the scene of the crime, unfortunately, is a town not very far from me, and it's still continuing, so I guess that's really what you, what's got your anger up, and I don't blame you. But what happened to you?
Yeah, but if it was an isolated incident, you know, it might be easy to put it behind me. But and also if I saw that maybe the people eventually would be fired, you know, that were involved in what happened to me, then, you know, maybe I would have been more inclined to let it go. But, you know, with this recent thing, what happened to Zeus that was euthanized after being brought into, you know, Hernando County Animal Control and was euthanized after like 12 minutes. A couple of the other stories that I've been hearing written online by a woman named Marianne Tobin. She's written a couple of them that I kept track of. One where they were euthanizing instead of adopting. I mean, there were some people that had gone back to adopt an animal, and some guy was snapping his gloves, you know, and saying, you know, leave me alone, I'm busy euthanizing, you know, or something to that effect. And that's just awful. And I know that I have such a problem with when animals needlessly, it just seems to be such it's like when you have cancer, you don't see anybody marching for the prevention. You see them marching for the cause and to raise money for the cure, but you never hear anything about preventing it from happening in the first place. And I think that something done to prevent that prevents animals from being euthanized in the first place or being in the position where they're going to be euthanized, and you know, issues with you know, there not just being enough spay and neuter available cheaply to people. In Brooksville, yeah, Pet Love, which they're very fortunate to have, but like where out where I am, I just spent I spent $900 spaying three tiny dogs.
Wow.
And that's an awful lot of money. It's insane. And that was pretty much the same price as the clinic, you know, which was an hour and a half away. So I was happier to give my money to the guy locally. But there's just not enough alternatives. Donating their time for free, one day a month maybe. But you know, so there are people that, you know, people like what I was doing. I mean, what I was doing in Brooksville and had been doing since I was in the late 90s was taking in a lot of the dogs that were not considered adoptable, especially the seniors or the breeds that nobody was interested in. They are just the chow mixes, the pit bull mixes. And, you know, dogs in and really tried to adopt out. I mean, it's not like I wasn't trying. My husband managed to adopt a couple out through PetSmart in Nashville before moving the animals here. But it was difficult. It was really difficult to do. So, you know, when we moved to Florida, we had no idea what we would be in for. You know, I just think in general that Florida is a very lawless state. There's a lot of corruption.
How long did you live in Florida when you moved down here from Tennessee? What was your total time in the Brooksville area?
I came down in 2001 to help my mother take care of my father. Actually, no, 2002, pretty much 10 years ago. He had been let out of the hospital because he had congestive heart failure, and they let him out of the hospital, you know, which nobody really was expecting. I was helping my mom take care of him at the time. And what happened, he died. I became the only member of the family who was equipped to take care of other people because my father's sister was in her 80s and she had Alzheimer's. And my mother pretty much, she didn't even know how to put gas in a car.
Oh, my
goodness. So, you know, she was coming from that generation where the husband did everything. They were married for like 100 years or something, you know. So I had to move. We had the animals in Nashville, so I moved down to take care of my aunt at the end of 2002 with my son, who was only 8 months at the time, and a couple of my birds. You know, I had four birds at the time, and I drove down, and my husband separated for almost 2 years because we weren't able to bring the animals to my aunt's place in Pinellas.
Mm-hmm.
So after around 2004, my mother agreed to help me for a place. So I found that place, you know, on my website, I do mention that I lived in Newport Richey. And I found, you know, I called a realtor, did a place for 25 dogs and 33 cats. And he came up with this place that had been a boarding and trading facility. And it was, it's on the ouranimalhouse.org website. That shows, like, it had treatment rooms. It had a big outbuilding that was like 60 by 40 that was with little slots for dogs to come out of and, you know, outdoor kennel areas. And, you know, it was just really the best. But when, after we moved, and it cost me an arm and a leg to fix all the fence, it cost me $6,000 to transport the animals. We found that it wasn't zoned properly.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, can you imagine? And there was a delay in trying to file for zoning because I owned the house jointly with my aunt, and she couldn't, because I was her guardian, she wasn't allowed to contract into anything, and nobody had power of attorney. So it had to be retitled, but by then the next door neighbor had gotten all the, you know, filed a paper against me, and so I had, eventually I had to leave, and I found the place in Brooksville. And so, you know, I thought that that was the end of my travel. It was a fantastic place. It had also been a rescue, a cat rescue, oddly enough, owned by the guy who loved. And so it had a wraparound porch area, which would have been ideal for the birds, and had some outdoor kennels. So my fence guy, who at this point loved me because I was probably no doubt customer. Huh?
You were making him pretty well to do.
Absolutely, absolutely, because we had like 70 by, 75 by 30 or 40 dog runs. It's 30, each one was like 75 feet by 40 feet. And
wow.
There were maybe two or three dogs, and that's how much space they had. It was fantastic. It was fantastic, this Brooksville. Because we were able to start from scratch in Brooksville. And we had a building built. We called some very nicer, you know, Liberty people, which were kind of cool people. They built the cattery that was, I guess it was, trying to think if it was 35 by 40 or 30. It was somewhere, you know, not as big as the other one had been, and it had, but it had so many windows and doors, that was quite nice. And we had a defense guy, he had just done something for a baseball team. So he did like this batter's cage in an L shape around the cattery so that they would have indoor, outdoor. And it had a huge barn, which was wonderful. And, you know, we built the corral fencing, beautiful corral fencing. At the time, we had two ponies that were my son's ponies. And, you know, I thought that was going to be it, and you know, we would be fine. But and everything was indeed fine until I had, at the end of 2008, I fired an employee and received my first visit from animal control because an employee, a disgruntled employee, made a complaint. And we had, at that point, you know, we were smart enough not to let people on the property arbitrarily. We only had employees. We had several employees at the time. And we fired this guy. He'd been an ex-con, and, you know, and he was found out that, well, he was stealing. And, you know, there was stuff that was going on. He was lying about some of the work he'd done. So he was, like, the wrong person to fire. And so we did get a call from animal control. They came over. They found nothing wrong. And they expected that it might happen again because, it's, you know, usually these people just want to taunt you. And they always give details of stuff inside the house. So you know that it's nobody else but people that, you know, it's pretty much easy to shoot down these anonymous complaints.
Right.
yeah, everything was always fine. As a matter of fact, our relationship with animal control was wonderful. And I, at that point, I was still thinking that these people are public servants there to help you. But I couldn't have been further from the truth. You know, came time, you know, that in sometime at the end of 2009, I had made this was August of 2000 or thereabouts, I made a Facebook post asking for donations, and I actually got a complaint to animal control from a woman that wasn't even on my friends list. It was through a cross post, who was a vet. And so
I don't understand what the illegality is of asking for donations if you're...
I don't know. You know, and you know what's really funny is that I remember around that time I posted an article that was actually some animal control in California that had confiscated some birds, and they were actually asking for donations from the public. Now, how come they can do it, but I can't? You know, so this woman somehow thought that it was, who knows, people stick their noses and stuff, and it's really just pathetic. But, you know,
yeah.
So they came another time, but the guy knew it, and on the piece of paper I saw him in his hands, it was a letter from the woman on the internet with my Facebook post, and then scrolled underneath it was by the head of animal control, a woman named Leanne, saying, check into this, it might be another disgruntled employee. So there was no, you know, no big thing. And in fact, Patrick asked me if I was networked with any other rescues so that maybe I could actually score some free food.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, no, we pay for everything ourselves. I mean, I've been doing this, you know, when I was taking care of my aunt, I was making $7,000 a month. So it was very easy for me to, you know, it all went to animals. So, you know, he offered to network me, you know, with some people. And he could actually, the next day, I left a message mentioning some Daystar place, St. Anthony's, I guess, was the place in on Spring Hill Boulevard. It's a church where these vouchers, and he gave me the name of a woman at the Humane Society that actually you get the food from, but you have to get these vouchers first. I ended up anyway. He said I told and when you go there, just tell them that I sent you and I said that you were a good rescue. So I'm thinking this guy's the best thing in the world. I did go. They only offer one bag of food to him, so it ended up not being, you know, the thing for us to pursue, and we actually hooked up with another rescue who gave us some free food at the time. I won't say her because I know that, you know, she likes to stay under the ring. Most of these places do because of animal control and the way they operate, you know. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here,
I'm worried about the guys with the Skype connection. I keep getting these clicks. But anyway, so everything's wonderful. I'm thinking, wow, they would be really, you know, we're full disclosure with these people. Nothing's going to happen. They like us. We like them. So Holly Kara Price does this wonderful article about me for the Huffington Post. And at that point, I thought I should look for a backer. Maybe I can Ethan up the rescue.
Right.
So, because I'm essentially a sanctuary. I'm taking in the animals no one wants. They have illnesses, or my cattery was a combination of cats that some of them had leukemia, my vets knew about it, and they just said that as long as they're not showing any symptoms, and you keep them stress free and happy, they can live that way forever. You know, why kill them? You know, they're happy. They were some of them 12 years old. You know.
Right.
So everything was cool, and I can take in a positive animal who's healthy. Somebody else might kill him, right? So anyway, what happens is that the article comes out 9909 that Hallie did. I did actually end up getting a backer out of this, and we began to talk and correspond around that time. But simultaneous to this, I get a call one morning about 11:30, just before the 9/11 anniversary weekend, from this guy named Logan Neal. He's an arts and entertainment writer for the Hernando Times. And he wants to do a piece. So, you know, I'm thinking, I'm jumping for joy because I'm thinking, wow, I'll get, like, local people making donations. Maybe I can even find a way of getting a grant. And, you know, this looks good for the backer. And you know, everything seems like it's peaches and cream and everything's going my way. And only this guy wants to do the interview, right? And I said something like, you know, the lawn had to be mowed because we'd lost our helper. He went back to school. And, you know, he was also the guy that was doing the cages, the bird cages. So we were, you know, really short of help at that time. But he said that he wanted to get it in the paper that weekend. It was a big weekend, and I thought, wow, you know, with 9/11 anniversary stuff, there are probably going to be a lot of people reading the paper. So it would probably be good to be in that weekend edition. So I gave, you know, it was like I gave him like an hour and a half before he would come over, and I had time to shower and whatever else, and met him. And this is a guy that shows up with no tape recorder, barely writing down anything I said. And I've done a lot of interviews in my life all over the world. And I know that it, that the people that are really the good writers are the ones that show up with a tape recorder. Otherwise, you are going to be misquoted. Nobody can remember what anybody said from memory. You know, it's insane.
And I don't like when people take stuff out of context when I say it.
Yes, absolutely.
Or they misquote me, you know.
Absolutely.
So.
Or they misquote the what you said, and then they take it out of context, and place it where they want it to be. Yeah, it's kind of like putting words in your mouth, you know, but which is what he had, you know, eventually ended up doing. But anyway, that weekend, nothing. Oh, let me backtrack. Let me backtrack to when he was there. You know, so basically the interview is a bust. You know, he's not even looking at me when I'm talking to him. We go past the barn and past four of these very big dog runs out of the many, many that I had. That were 12-acre parcel, and some of it's wooded and quite beautifully and nice, lush. And so he didn't really, you know, he went to the side of the barn and took a couple of pictures. He had a photographer with him. And then we stopped, and he was asking me about the female Bruce thing, which always seems to come up. And then we went and sat at a picnic table. You know, when he was ready to leave, I said, you know, you should call Patrick Pace. He's the guy at Animal Control, my friend. Here's his number. I'm sure he'd love to put in a few words. And, you know, name in the paper. Here, I think I'm doing the guy a favor. So, nothing comes out that weekend in the paper. And that's when I feel a little worried, like, who was this guy? Because, you know, obviously he was a liar, you know, because nothing, no piece. He had said that he had a four piece, and nothing came out. So,
I think at that point you had messaged me on Facebook and you had told me what happened. I think at that point you were actually kind of fearful because you weren't sure who that was that had come onto your property and what they were going to go back and say.
Right, you know, and next thing that happened was I get a call on the, I guess the 16th of September, 11:30, I get a call from a new animal control guy. This guy I've never heard of, and it was a guy named John Tassoni, or Tassona. I have been saying the name wrong for the longest time. And anyway, and he, you know, Patrick was usually, you know, easygoing. Just let me know that you got the complaint. You know, I don't even have to come on the property. You know, we know you have been there, whatever. This guy wants to come in. He's waiting and he's not leaving. So
wow.
I just said, well, you know, get ready. Yeah, and I still am not thinking, I'm still not getting the serious. So I let this guy in. But this guy's got a camera. This guy's a Nazi. This guy is military. This guy is no smiling. This guy is not there. This guy is there to create trouble, there to kick butt, and If something's not wrong, he will find them. He will make something wrong. So he actually did let himself into the house and started taking pictures. And actually, some of those appear in one of Logan Neal's articles from the 31st after they took the animals of bird cages. And he's not. I'm glad he did that, though, because I don't believe that Chisona was allowed to take photographs without a warrant of some sort. I don't think you're allowed to just go onto people's private property and photograph. I think you have to have an inspection warrant. From what I'm reading, an inspection warrant allows people to take pictures. So I'm assuming that without one, you're allowed to.
These people are taking pictures. There's people that have actually come outside of our home and taken pictures with my car in the driveway, you know, taking a picture of the house and getting my tag number. And one time when this happened, Leon, you know, my partner, walked out and said, "What the hell are you doing, man?" You know, he's kind of a big guy, so he scares people. And the guy looked pretty and he didn't even have a car. This guy was just walking down the street with a very, very fancy, very big camera, taking a picture of each property.
Wow.
And that was just, he gave us a, it was a flyer that was, all it was a copy of a flyer, and it was some weird website where it had to do with property appraisal. So I said, "So you're a property appraiser, but you just walk down the street and take pictures, not even randomly. You're taking a picture of each property as you walk down the street. What kind of shit is that?" You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's terrible. And you know, it's like I don't even think the police can take. It's like them taking a picture of the inside of your car. I think that there's a certain, you know, you have an expectation of privacy in your home unless somebody has some kind of a warrant. But anyway, to go back to this guy, he then leaves. And at that point, I'm thinking, what is going on here? So I call Patrick Pace. It ends up that he's not the guy that the house is anymore. He's been promoted. So this guy had been on the job for months. He used to work there a year before, but he left, and he's been on the job 10 minutes, misread my phone, assumed that I'd been, they'd visited me so many times before because I had infractions. That's how he was seeing it, infractions. So I was someone that needed to be confronted. So he was misreading the file, and full of himself, obviously. And Patrick tells me that it was Logan Neal that made the complaint because he said he saw feces.
Oh,
I'm thinking, well, of course he did. Of course he did. There's a barn there with horses, and you're going to see poop somewhere. It's got to be somewhere. We have a woman that cleans and everything. She comes twice a day to do the horses. She's so good she worked for my vet. So, you know, there's going to be poop somewhere. I mean, run after these guys. You know, so that was the complaint. And then I call Logan Neal, and his attitude was that he said he didn't make the complaint, and then he said skeptical about me because somehow the Newport Richie story didn't seem right. And you know, meanwhile, it's because he probably didn't listen to me. I mean, anything wrong, I asked for, in fact, it's the house flipper that lied to me about what, you know, about the property. You know, I didn't do anything wrong. I never had any trouble except a zoning issue. You know, he was just somehow making something, he fancying himself this investigative reporter, but he couldn't investigate his way out of a paper bag because this is a ridiculous allegation. So, meanwhile, I've got this Tassoni guy who then the following day, as if it's not bad enough he came once, he comes, but this time he comes with Pace, and he comes with another guy named Darko, who's not there anymore. No guys are there anymore. My husband's home, mom, because she lives, you know, next door, and the phone company was coming. So I was helping her, you know, make sure she answers the door and that everything's cool with the phone company. Anyway, Sony, scared the bejesus out of my husband, who was just freaked out. He's totally freaked. You know, I'm usually the person that talks to these clowns. And any page I look at, because I've had so many, you know, with my experience with contracts and papers and signing, you know, I'm a little bit more astute about these things than he is. My husband, you know, he can barely, you know, figure out a grocery list. So,
anyway,
when I come back home, I see that there's this piece of paper. You know, I don't think anything. I find a copy of something that's called an order of care agreement for custody and care of the animals, but it's not signed. It's just a, and it's made out to me that I agree to something, and you know, so I don't think anything of it. But then to Sony comes again the next day, and he said that he filed some paper against me that Pace didn't want him to, but he had done it anyway already, which put everything on a timeline. And he seemed kind of sheepish compared to the way he'd been a couple of days before. And so they were going to come out again on the 25th of September. And I had to, well, my main impression was vaccines at that point. Because I was dealing mostly with a homeopath. She didn't do vaccines. And since my animals never went anywhere, I hadn't done them since I lived in Newport Richey.
Well, I don't know if I believe in the vaccines anyway. I mean,
yes. You know, I had elderly dogs. I had immune-compromised cats. And the last thing they need to be is injected, to be honest. And it wasn't really recommended. And if the animals aren't going anywhere and if they're confined and you know, you don't really have people coming up pretty, except the people that work there. And these animals aren't biting anybody. But anyway, and my husband's the one that goes in the kennels, actually. And, you know, we had the only one going in the cattery, was occasionally somebody doing the cattery as well. But my husband mostly did that. So he was the one that would take any risk of anything, you know, if there ever was any kind of risk. But anyway, my backer agrees to pay for the beans, to make a long story short. We have the vet come out on the same day, on the 25th, and my backer wants to tape it. So he videotaped. He had somebody videotape the process. And she came out with a couple of and somebody to videotape, and they did grooming. They cut some of the dogs. They vaccinated everybody. There were a couple of cats that had sometimes allergic reactions. We did use Prol. It doesn't work.
You're breaking up. I'm not sure if it's Skype doing that, but just repeat your last two sentences if you can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay.
Basically, you know, she came out with one person that videotaped and a couple of assistants that groomed, like cutting hair and doing nails. Then she did all the vaccines for, I guess there were 70 cats and I think 37 dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all, everything was taped. And animal control was there. And by then I had hired a live-in employee who a male, you know, he was 27, and he was going to be living.
So you jumped through the hoops that they wanted you to jump through.
Yes, I every single objection, and they came, and there is a picture at ouranimalhouse.org of animal control, my vet, my husband, and I standing smiling. Everybody's smiling, and I remember posting on Facebook, we passed the inspection. you know, and, and so everything was fine. Everything was fine, beautiful, fine, no problems. Everything was clean, clean, clean. Changes. There were still some issues with it. It was, you know, the guy was coming the following Sunday. The guy was coming to live with us on the 27th. So I think we had cut some of the grass, but it was, you know, 12 acres. And, you know, the horses are only eating so much of it. But everything's fine. Everything is fine. Introducing, you know, the Leanne Teagues, that was my first time meeting her, to all my animals. I told her where each of the birds was from, where the dogs were from, where the horses were from. And everything was fine. I was proud. I was proud of myself. I was my husband. We worked like dogs, you know. And because you know, because I, somebody gives me, I want it done in half the time, because that's just the way that I am. I get to be, I'm like a perfectionist that way. So anyway, fine. Tassoni does take pictures again. He does take pictures again that day, but he leaves early. He's not in that photo where Patrick Pace, Leanne Teagues, and the rest of everybody else is in that photo. Thank God that I had them take that.
Right, right. That was a nice double check for you. You know, because I believe when you're under the gun like that, there's things that can't be disputed once you have them on film.
Everybody's smiling, right. So does that mean that if there are any animals in distress? I don't think so. If there were, they wouldn't be smiling. And how can they lie about me not vaccinating my animals when vet, her two assistants, and you see the back of the vehicle filled with all the pharmaceutical stuff?
Hmm.
You know, which is what they would go on to try to say. So on October 16th, I'm at my mom's. My husband calls or walks over, and I don't even remember which. I was going to be on my way to the store, and he caught me, thank God. And he says, "You got to come over. They're going to take Ginger." And let me tell you, she's a 30-year-old mare that two of my employees brought to me in 2007 because her, along with a blind horse named Sly, in living next door to one of them, and this woman was feeding them a cup of food a day. And she had the vets always telling her, you got to give them more food. She wouldn't let them out of their stalls, and she wouldn't let them graze because she watched preserve her lawn. So they weren't basically almost falling down when they came to me. And, you know, my vet saw them right away. And so they made some bounds in the 2 years that I had them. But anyway, so on this day, on the 16th, I get to my property. I come there with my employee. He's got my video camera, but the battery wasn't working. So, but we're carrying it anyway to look, you know, just to look as if we might tape it, you know. It might help just holding it. So I get there, and I'm always trying to be that friendly person. So I see Tassoni, and I'm always thinking I can work this out. But he takes the mare because she's starving to death. I said, well, she's 30 years old. She's not, you know, this is her, the way she always looks, and she's, I mean, a 30-year-old horse is a pervades. And horses like that have little body fat, they can eat, like, cords of food, and they're not going to no matter what. It's just, she just would graze all day, and we had a woman feeding her twice a day with beet pulp feed, senior, and hay. So, you know, she was well taken care of. So I actually offered for my vet to come on the property then. I said, well, call Willard, get him. Have him, you need to see how that horse is seen by a vet, let's just do it. Bring it on, you know? So then I followed that with, where's the piece of paper that allows you to be on my property? Because I didn't get how they could just come whenever they wanted to and come down the driveway and go and pass the no trespassing sign, right? Because they're not allowed to do that.
It seems, from what I can gather, that the animal control people seem to think that they have carte blanche, but so do the fish and wildlife people as well. And I don't know if it's because they have these lowly positions and just have to feel like they're empowered or what. But, you know,
well,
just
you know, it's like with the TSA. It's going to attract people who want to put you on.
Right. They're going to find some kind of violation, whether it exists or not. They're going to find something.
Right. Yes. And in this case, it wasn't existing because they would go on to lie about me in court. But what's weirder, and I finally got a copy of this from the county attorney's office today. I got the filled out and notarized copy of that order of care agreement that I saw on the 17th of September. And it's saying Carol Moss hereby agrees to the following stipulations. And it's the thing, in referencing care of all animals owned by Carolyn Moss, yada, yada, yada. And then it's saying that I agree, among other things, that I agree to let them come on my property to make random unannounced inspections. And it's just saying, should all the conditions of this agreement not be met by me, that they reserve the right to remove the animals. Under the authority of Chapter 828.073 Florida statutes. By my signature below, I indicate I have read and agreed to the above terms and conditions. And I look at this paper, and above Carolyn Moss, there is no signature. And scrawled in next to my name is or Esteban Agostino. And then in by my husband. And it's notarized by guess who? Officer Pisana. He's also a notary.
Oh, Carolyn, we've got a caller. Let me find out if this is somebody that's got some questions for you. They may even have information to add. So
yes.
Hold that thought, and let me ask who the caller is. They're from 352 area code, so it's close by. But, caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, you can hear me? Good. My name is Cher Schwint. I'm from Hernando County, and I was a witness to Carol Moss's situation. I went out to her house the day before they took her animals. What I noted on all her animals is there wasn't any reason for them to take them. I mean, I said to her, you know, they've done it to me. They've lied. They said I had a kennel here, but yet you know, the next thing they said, I only had two dog houses, which was a total lie. All my animals had dog houses, and they contradicted what they said on public documents. As far as Carol goes, somebody needs to step into this county because they're trying to put innocent people. They're stealing animals, and they're selling them on the side. So that way they could profit off of it, and they're lying about everybody. So, you know, with my situation, I'll make it real quick because it's on her time. But they came in and took 13 puppies, trespassed, lied on a fraud vet report that wasn't even from a vet. And the girl that gets fraud pictures is an ex-vet tech. You know, so your animals look bad. The animals that they were showing on TV, I can vouch for, weren't even Carol's animals. So that way the public would think, oh, my God, thank God they got her. You know, the scenario. And, well, anyways, they came to my property, shot 26 animals, said I was in contempt of court, not getting their tags. I did have all their tags within 30 days. The county attorney changed the 60 days the judge allowed me. They gave me 26 tickets in December, and they weren't even due yet, the county tags. So then I went and got their tags. And besides, I'm exempted for having wolves or wolf hybrids. They don't even get vaccinations. So anyways, that's what happened there. And then the county attorney was lying, saying I was in contempt of court to get me into court, saying I didn't have tags. And then they stole all my animals. My horse didn't even have a rib showing. My animals were expensive animals. I found out they were selling them through the Florida Lupine for $5,000 a piece. Then I started, I've been investigating animal raids for since 1990. And it's ridiculous what they're doing. They take animals and they starve them for photographs in the courtrooms. The judges are all corrupt. They all know what's going on. And it's a path of lies. It's lies that we can prove are lies, but we can't get any help. We can't get attorneys because they rob you from your livelihood. And these people are getting post-traumatic families, Carol lost her mother, okay? They robbed her mother's animals next door. They robbed Eddie Warren's daughter's animals that lived next door. That had nothing to do with his case. Okay, people are getting post-traumatic. People are dying. People are getting heart attacks. Children are suffering so bad that one little girl stopped talking for 3-4 years. Still cannot talk over a raid. Okay, something needs to be done. It needs to be done now. And I'm sorry, Carol, I butted in on your time, but I feel
okay,
for these people a lot.
No, we need
just
to know,
awful.
You know, listening, people that are listening need to hear what's going on. And you know, we're a rural county here in Hernando County. It's rural, it's country, a lot of people have animals. This, you know, I know these aren't isolated incidents, so, you know, people
mm-hmm.
need to come out of it. People are afraid, I think, to even come out of the closet and say, yeah, I own a lot of animals and I have property. You know, this could happen on farmland, too. So
yeah.
People are afraid. And,
there's,
you know,
not even
the
any
law,
animals in Hernando County.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said there's hardly any animals in Hernando County. You know, I mean, they all just disappeared. You know, when they say irresponsible pet owners, that's a lie. You know, that's a lie. It's not about the irresponsible pet owners. They always try to make us look like, oh, we're crazy, we're insane, whatever, so the focus is off of them so they don't get caught in all the lies that they're saying. I mean, I got a whole trail of nothing but lies, and they want to put me in jail on the 10th. Okay, they want to put me in jail on the 10th and kill two huskies that I have that never left the house, that they had fought evidence that said that they attacked sheep. The county attorney went to these two people to make up a charge because I was suing them for $11 million for the 26 animals they killed out here, they shot. And then they made me bust my motorhome down with my bare hands. That was evidence to them. They come here in plain clothes. They shoot my animals. They have a gun. They're not allowed to do that. They have to have an inspection warrant before they can even go on somebody's property, and they cannot trespass. It's government fraud. When you mislead the judge in any case, when you mislead the judge and lie, that is government fraud. You better believe you are going to prison somewhere along the line if we can get ears for someone to help us. So far, we got ABC News that's trying to back us. We have somebody else that's in a big field that I'm not really allowed to say who is backing us, but that's for your constitutional rights and your civil rights. But we really would like to have an attorney standing in the courtrooms because I went to court. They had two attorneys against me and wouldn't even give me one. Two attorneys against me, and they double jeopardied me. The judge said, well, because the people that were saying my animals attacked them, they didn't even know what my animals looked like. I said, what do they look like? They didn't know. I was found not guilty. They slammed me back into court into another judge because the county attorney's a poor loser. You know, he talks about me on Facebook. It's just incredible. Somebody needs to do something.
Carolyn, what can you add to this? I mean, do you know more of this story? You obviously have been keeping up with it, but, you know, fill me in.
Of which story? Of what happened to me?
Of what happened to this young lady here that's called in.
No, I really don't know much about her story because it happened, I guess, a few years ago. And I've been, you know, I know that she's been, you know, posting stuff and for a long time she wasn't keeping track of anything that was going on in Hernando County until this incident was, and some of the other charges of dumping the bodies in landfills and one particular dog that was brought in that was allowed to bleed to death. You know, the instances of animal control committing animal cruelty themselves, which is, you know, it's almost like the way you hear about these people that end up in authority to combat a specific person's in charge of, you know, well, children, and you find out they're a pedophile. You know,
right.
It always seems to be. Or what about the I read recently there was a humanitarian couple or something, and they were caught, committing bestiality. You know,
yeah,
that was something I think that was in Florida, maybe even. But I'd like to go back to my story, though, because it actually gets worse. You know, I was at the point of the paper that was addressed to me, that then was made, my husband was coerced into signing, and then it was notarized by the same animal control officer, which is an incredible thing to me because, first of all, how can somebody else signing a paper be legal? You know, obviously they were on my property on the 16th of October to take my horse without any sort of official documentation. I mean, when, imagine somebody showing you a document saying they're allowed to be on your property and it's signed by someone who doesn't even own the property. So it was an incredible feeling of being violated. And, you know, at that point, as I was saying, I was trying vet to come on the property to just quell any of Tistona's, you know, problems he was having in any way with this horse. And at that point when I began to ask for this piece of paper and was questioning the one showing me, he became hostile and called the police. So the next thing I know, I've got police coming on my property. And from that point on, the whole thing was out of my hands. Around 5:11, I saw Patrick Pace at the very end of the driveway, because at this point I had several police cars, paper to whoever had the horse trailer, and apparently it was a paper signed by the judge at 5:11 on a Friday. I don't know, maybe they had, you know, how could they have had, I can't even get a babysitter at 5:11 a day. So, you know, they had this piece of paper, and all of a sudden this piece of paper had in it the order of care. Suddenly the ability to come on my property was inside this document, but it was a new document prepared and signed by the judge. And looking back in retrospect, as I look at that document, they must have known that the first document they had was void. Was illegal, because how can somebody sign for me? No, my husband doesn't have power of attorney. And then it's a direct conflict to have the person involved trying to get this document signed, also notarizing it. My husband has no recollection of it being notarized even in front of him. So, you know, this is a very suspicious document. I just got a copy of it from the county attorney's office, and I did speak to the governor's office today concerning the validity of a document like this, because there are certain discrepancies. You know, there's certain things that ways that notaries have to be like explaining something thoroughly. Now, my husband, whose first language is not English, he speaks German. He's not the best when it comes to reading paperwork like this, because the wording is kind of confusing. He was upset. And so his interpretation of the paper, the way Tistone was presenting it, was that if he signs it, he can keep the animals. And if he's acting as notary, it's, you know, notaries are there to be the objective person explaining the document. But it is in Tassona's best interest for this document to not be understood. He just wants it signed. So, right. You know, he doesn't have to explain it. So that's a conflict right there. Because in the long run, this document leads to the confiscation and sale of animals for profit. So he actually is, in a way, benefiting personally from the outcome. So that's a conflict. The language problem that my husband had is a problem. And the third problem is that he didn't actually witness it being notarized, and has to be notarized in front of you.
Right.
So it's a good thing that I actually kept this, because I think that I would probably not even know that it existed unless I had this paper. And the only reason why I have it is because first, wrote my husband's name, he wrote it as Ernesto Agostino. So I just put this paper aside, and I found it. Mm-hmm. And so
wow.
the Yeah, and something told me a couple of days ago, I thought, you know what, he was the notary. And sure enough, I found him. And the address he gives as his address as a notary, you don't control. So how can they have their own people notarizing documents? So it makes me think, okay, they're stomping on people's property, scaring them into signing stuff, and then notarizing it becomes official. How can that be legal? How can that be legal?
That's like extortion.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely, absolutely, and not only that, but you know the what followed all transpired in the space of a week. This is on a Friday. They took my mare on a Friday. Within 2 weeks, all my many of my animals would be dead. They, you know, Leanna Teagues, the head of animal control, was on vacation the following week. Well, that would have been the week of the 19th. And my horse was murdered and subsequently used as a kingpin to then start saying that I was, the horse was put down, was 18, was suffering from malnutrition, could not stand, and therefore I was starving all of my other animals. They took pictures of empty food buckets when he had been there, probably on the one of the times he had a camera. He took empty food buckets. He took pictures of my horse in such a way to Photoshop it to make the horse look like she's skin and bones. There are some pictures he took where she looks fine, but he did send the pictures at some weird angle to my backer, to discredit me in any way. And basically they tried to turn away anybody that had been in some way in support of me. And, you know, this is happening in such a short time that it's overwhelming. So they killed the horse on Monday. Monday afternoon, they show up at the house, and they tell my husband that they heard what was going on Friday, that some threats were made. Now, I don't understand what that exactly means. Perhaps when you are for a paper or allowing people to be on your property, it's a threat now when it's just asking for your constitution. So they asked, now they said, they were saying that they had an anonymous complaint from someone who said that there was a child that no one sees, them diseased animals, and there's no money. So my husband replies that there's no child there. Now please leave, because actually they were trespassing, because there's a no trespassing sign. The next day they come back, and my husband calls me, and just as he's turning around to go back inside, they slammed him against the door. They handcuffed him. I heard this. They handcuffed him and they searched my house without a warrant.
Wow.
And who's behind them but animal control? And now animal control has access to areas of my house no longer using, because we had experienced a water heater broke in the attic, and we experienced a flood on part of the house, and we had it off, which is why I had moved with my mother. We had it closed off and had doors installed until we could get the insurance claim with the mortgage company settled. But what animal control did is that they opened those doors. They let the animals in that part of the house and took photos, because those are the photos that I would prefer.
Get on the radio. There's 58 minutes left.
I wanted to make sure I knew the name of the caller that called in, if she wants to give us her name, because I want to get in touch with her later. What is your name, caller?
My name is Cher Schwinn, and I go by Looking Through Wolves Eyes Online. And I'm really sorry, Carol. I didn't know how long you were on. I didn't know you didn't tell your story. I feel so rude. I'm really sorry.
Well,
but
we're glad you told your story, too, but I definitely want to get in touch with you at a later date, definitely.
Well,
so, you know, I will.
They're trying to lock me up over something that never even happened. You know, they don't even have any evidence that my animals did anything. And I really feel for Carol, and I feel for Elma, and I feel for Eddie Warren, and I feel for Julie Hornick, And I feel for all the people that have been raided in Hernando County and Hillsborough County, that, you know, Alice and Patty, you know, I mean, these are all people that have been innocent, that they sit there and they lie about the conditions of the animals, so the public will go, oh, thank God they got them, you know. And they rob you blind. And when they rob you blind and ruin your character, you might as well forget about getting an attorney, because no attorney's going to sit there and think that they're going to be able to beat them. But, you know, I mean, it's just terrible what they're doing to people. I mean, can you imagine? They're hitting elderly people. They're hitting people, you know, that are single. They're hitting, you know, and what they did to Carol, oh, my God. You know, they threw her husband up against the wall and made it look. See, that's the only way they can trespass, is if they say a child is in danger. That's what they use that for. Because I've been investigating all these cases. I have evidence on Carol's cases where there's a vet report that says her animals were fine. I have Eddie Warren's case where his animals were fine. They're going into court and lying so bad about you. I mean, it's not even funny. And you can even show them evidence to show that, hey, what they're saying is a lie. It's not true. They don't care. They don't care. They know that we're selling, the county's selling them on the side, making bucks, you know, or doing whatever. And now Hernando County is like, oh, gee, we didn't know that they were shooting animals and at the dump and leaving them there. They did it? Well, I said it in 2009 they were doing it. Now all of a sudden they're acting stupid? I don't think so. You know.
Well, I'll definitely be in touch with you after the show because, well, not tonight, but I'll give you a call later
number?
On. I've got your number. Yeah,
oh,
I've got your.
Maybe the public would be able to have it too. If somebody can help us all.
Well, you may not want to give out your phone number around the people that you don't know who are listening.
I've got your phone number written down, and I will personally be giving you a call because I want to make sure that, you know, maybe I can speak to some of the people. Maybe I can help. I don't know how, but, you know, if there's enough concerned citizens, I mean, the power of the people. Roseanne Barr says this all the time. She says the power of the people are too big to fail. So we
Absolutely.
Cannot fail
yeah.
in this
That's
when
right.
it's happening
well,
to so many people in
what,
the county.
What you,
know?
You need to listen to is go into your search and go into Hernando County Commissioners, right? And then it'll give you live video and go on 4/24/2012. And you'll hear a whole courtroom complaining about animal control. And I think it says 1.3.13. I'm wearing a green shirt, and I told all the commissioners that we voted them in, we can vote them out. Because,
Good
you know,
you.
It's so corrupt. And they know they're corrupt. They know that they're lying. They know the county attorney is crooked. They know all this. And they allow it to happen. And it's like, it's not right what they're doing to people. It's not right. You know, people have a right to live in peace. I'm in court all the time over lies after lies. And they think it's cute and they think it's funny. I don't think it's funny. You know, and I would like to be able to live in peace, you know, and everybody has the right to have animals, and everybody has the right to breed animals, and everybody has the right to rescue animals. They cannot, you know, that's your humane right. They can't do that to people, you know, and it's ridiculous. It's like, and not only that, when they take the animals, that's failed due process. Kevin Callahan and DOJ said they're not even allowed to touch your animals. And if they fail to process and take your property, violating your 4th, 5th, 14th Amendment, and 15th Amendment, they got to give them back. But I haven't
yeah.
seen my animals back. I haven't
Unfortunately,
seen any of them.
Once they have them, they do them in or they sell them for money, and then that's it. So
no,
they're doing this. It's very clear that they're doing this for profit. I mean, and they'll do whatever they can to do it. It's greedy. It's just beyond greed because they're putting
things
at risk, animals at risk. They don't care if they die. I mean, I'm sure, Carolyn, that must have been traumatic for your husband. Did he go to jail after they handcuffed him?
No, they handcuffed him and they searched the house. They were threatening him with parental rights. They were also asking him if our employee was my lover. They were threatening him. The cop once at one point asked him for the keys to the gate so they could bring the cars through. When my husband wasn't going to at first, and then he said, you know, it's okay because we'll just drive through the gate. And he kept saying that they said that they didn't need a warrant to search for a child, even though they had asked my the day before, who does the horses, when she was walking on her way over to my mom's where we were to feed my mother's horse. She was asked by the police how my son was, and she had told them that he was fine. So they knew where he was. This was just a ploy to gain access out. And, you know, while I heard that this was going on, I sent my employee over with a camera, and this time I had the battery charged. He walked on YouTube, and he says, you know, there's a gentleman, I mean, you shouldn't even call them gentlemen, should I? He's a white shirt, one of the cops in white shirt. Several were in different color shirts. He walked by to his, and at one point then doubles back. And my friend just turns around. He's got the camera on still. And he says he's a private individual. I think that was about all he was allowed to get out of his mouth before the camera was just ripped from his hands and shut off. He was subsequently arrested. And he was arrested as a John Doe, so that he would be, you know, locked up for an indeterminate amount of time, I suppose that's why. He was arrested for obstruction of justice and for peacefully resisting arrest.
Yeah, they can.
And my camera was taken. So, you know, which I did end up getting. Oddly enough, isn't it odd that I was able to pick up my camera when I wasn't even. They knew it was mine. They knew it was my camera. Otherwise, they wouldn't have given it to me, given it back to me, you know, because it was, you know, concerning the case was an arrest involving a different person, but they managed to give it back to me. After my friend, actually, I was sad about this. We tried to get help from the ACLU, but they were no help at all. My friend pleaded guilty just to get out of there and get on with his life. That was his choice. I had to respect it. You know, and, you know, sadly, he is on his record now, but he didn't do a thing. And, you know, you know, going back to that day of the 20th, with, you know, after all this was going on, you know, and I wasn't hearing, you know, from my husband, sent my employee over there, I started to freak out. My first feeling was to try to get my son in the car, and him and I were going to go to a hotel, because I was so afraid at that point. I was completely filled with fear. I mean, the day before, the street had been swarming with police, and it's a tiny little dead end street where my mother lives, where the house is almost on the road. My house was all the way back down a long driveway in woods, so the police were swarming. It was extreme. It was terrorism. It was absolutely terrifying. So I decided to go somewhere else with my son because I was afraid. And at one point I call home to talk to my mom to see if she's okay. A policeman answers. So I hang up. But then I realized, you know, you can't run away from this. It's obviously going to continue. So I call back, and this time my mother answers, and she's, you know, actually, you know, entertaining. And I asked to speak with him, and all he wants to do is see my son. So I agreed to meet him, and I agreed to meet him in the parking lot of the Tractor Supply. So I head back down Cortez Boulevard, and I see him coming out of the neighborhood where my down Olympia, you know, to make that left-hand turn to go towards the 50. you know.
Right.
And so when I see him come out fast, he turns and he's going very fast, but with his lights out. I mean, oh man, this isn't what he says. This isn't just me and him. This is a sting. So I get the Tractor Supply, and it is. There's two cop cars. One in front of it with dark glasses, looking like in a SWAT team, hands crossed over his chest. A minute that I stopped, the back door of the car opened, and they son, Department of whatever Family Services woman, and this friendly cop who is just, you know, setting up this supposed informal meeting. He's ending up being part of it, right? And then I have to follow them to the courthouse, and at that point I ask them if they can possibly go slow enough so I can follow them, because I didn't know they're from Tractor Supply. So at one point I asked them, and I was thinking, my God, I don't actually know where my son is right now. And we go to court, and it's rather quick, because there's nothing wrong. My son is fine. In fact, he made a wisecrack to them that made them all laugh. You know, they said, oh, you know, he said, well, can we go? I wanted to go to the beach. And they said, no, we still have to do paperwork. And he said, well, why don't you do the paperwork so I can go to the beach? So that was great. He was the best. He really was taking it really well, because it must have been horrible for him. He was only 8, you know. And so anyway, I see animal control. They're getting some kind of paperwork at the same time as well. And those were to be the inspection warrants that not only for my property, but for my mother's going involved in this. And she hasn't done anything, right? So we go, you know, everything's fine with women from the Department of Family Services. She's absolutely fine. My son didn't enjoy having his pants on, by the way. He just told me about that last night. I never knew that they did that. He did not like that. He knows that that's a violation. You know, it's you know, a molestation sort of thing. But anyway, you know, that this is like one day, boom, 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 boom after the other, and you know, they just continue to make searches and searches of the place, my mother's place, getting her out of, you know, in her pajamas to make sure there's no animals hiding somewhere. And the next thing we have to do is go to court on Friday. And the hearing notice that I get says nothing. You know, according to, I found an administrative order for the Fifth Circuit of Hernando County from 1997 that says that all notices of hearing have to contain the length of the hearing, and they have to contain whether or not a court reporter is going to be provided. Now, neither of the hearings that I went to had this in the paperwork, and I've gone through all the paperwork today with the with the county, and I had them send me anything that I thought I didn't have, and there's nothing. It'll say notice of hearing in the document list, but it isn't anything. It isn't that. It isn't that one piece of paper, and I know what it looked like because I did get one in February. For something else. But anyway, so I never knew anything about there being no court reporter. I didn't know anything about how this procedure works because I've never been arrested. I've never been in court. So I go and I ask for a stay or, you know, a sort of continuance. That's what the word was. I ask for a continuance. And then thinking that I'd just be getting up and leaving. But no, there's like an hour-long hearing. But thank God I had a briefcase with me where I had photographs of my place that I'd taken. And they were taken the 17th. They were after this brute had taken those photographs of those empty water buckets. I had an automatic water feeder. And also we weren't using this old bin because the horses can't eat all out of the same trough. They'll fight for each other, you know. So everybody had to be fed individually under the trees, under different trees. That's how Vicky did it. So I have that. I have the vet record for the horse that has her birthday as 1979. She was born August 30th, 1979, which was making her 30 years old. And I also had the vaccination records. But somehow, none of this ever gets entered into any sort of, you know, either mental evidence or physical evidence. I had financial records as well showing that I wasn't impoverished. I was making at least, you know, my aunt had died and I was making $7,000, but I was pulling in at least $5,000 on the average, which was plenty to take care of everything.
Yeah,
and
that was like residuals from music and stuff like that. So there was
At that point I was doing a lot of eBay stuff, and I also was getting donations from people. And I also had all the correspondence, some of that. I also had all the correspondence from the banker who was just about to get me put underneath another 501c3. It was just about to happen. And this is a guy that had, you know, huge accounts, and he was, you know, he wanted that video a day when the vaccinations were done for publicity, right?
Right.
And the photo as well, which, thank God, I have. But anyway, what happened at this hearing, now, Tassona was not there. It was just Patrick Pace, and I don't recall if Leanne was there or not. I mean, if she was there, she must have been brought up to speak quickly. But there was an attorney named Erica Moore, and she's the one who had turned around to me at one point and asked me something against euthanization. And I remember being floored by anybody who would say something like that. Because I'm thinking, wow, you know, why don't you just go and, you know, open up an outfit somewhere? Because this is just really something. To have that attitude, you know, of course, you know, if an animal is suffering, but, you know, I'm not talking about gassing in animals, you know, for no apparent reason other than they don't know what to do with them. But anyway, I'm still thinking that I'm probably going to be okay because I'm thinking I have evidence. You know, they're talking about, I went in there and in the cattery there were some cats with flat ears and I was trying to explain, yes, they've been operated on for hematomas by a vet in Newport Richey, and I actually had the records for that too. I could get them, and that's why the ears appeared flat. And I also had a Scottish Fold, by the way.
Yeah, Scottish Fold has their ears
flat. No, these people are boneheads. These people are boneheads and looking for something to say that I've done something. But I'm still thinking at that point that it's going to be okay, and I asked for a continuance to try to get an attorney. And at the end of that afternoon, I went over to the woman who was the Judge Hitzman, and I asked her if I could get a transcription. Because I'm thinking, you know, it's got to be like TV where everything's recorded, right? I just couldn't see the person. But it's not like that. There was no transcription. You know, she didn't tell me that. That I would have to call the, you know, blah, blah, blah number on Monday. And it was someplace downstairs. So I go calling on Monday, and I'm thinking that I'll get a copy of all this. And I'm still thinking it's going to be fine. But I find that there's no transcription, but nobody's telling me. So I'm still not getting it that there's no reporter. So anyway, I go for the hearing on Thursday. I'm not able to get an attorney because, you know, it's just not enough time. It's just, you can't even get an appointment with an attorney like the next day. And it has to be certain kinds of attorney. And I did call a couple of people, but they asked, what case is it? And if it's involving animals, nobody wants to take it.
Wow.
No,
you have to get an animal-specific attorney. So, you know, go back on the Thursday. This time, they're on the stand, and Patrick Pace is then saying, I went into the kennels, and these are unsocialized, and they're backing away from me, and they had no food. The cat's feces. And there's Logan Neal, you know, in the meantime, he printed one article. He finally did print his articles, but they were all filled with lies, slander, saying that the cats were eating feces. People, you know, they were then quoted, Leanne Teagues and Patrick Pace says, we tried to give her help. We tried to give her free food, but she turned us down. There's a name for people like that. People get animals, but refuse to provide care. They're unvaccinated. They're starving to death. And none of this was true. It was as if all my paperwork didn't matter. They said the horse was 18, but we still didn't have, we weren't sure exactly how old the horse was. And why? My record isn't good. You know, it's easy enough. I mean, the woman who had the horse before me took the same vet as well. So all the information was there. So it was, you know, the next thing I know, the judge is saying that he's going to take, of course, they're going to let me keep some of the animals, which never made sense to me, because if I'm not treating them well, why are you letting me keep some of them? That doesn't make any sense. And then what comes up is that they're suddenly saying that I owe them $5,700 for a year-long investigation. Which was never true. They're just lying and lying and lying. I'm still not realizing that there's no transcript. They're lying and lying and lying, and I hardly ever even got to speak. And meanwhile, Logan Neal and his photographer, they're actually right across from me photographing. And now a photographer is supposed to be somewhere else, not in your face. And, you know, everybody's lying. No pictures of them in the paper, incidentally. But, you know, one after another, it's unbelievable that they could manufacture this. And it was devastating to be sitting in a courtroom completely legless, felt like, you know, and gagged. Legless and gagged. And after it was over, you know, they decided to, the $5,700, they decided to get the money by taking my birds and horses and selling what they said in court. You know, she owes this money, so this is how we are going to pay it. No, like, how about cutting us a check? Nothing, not even that alternative. But it's pay themselves from selling my animals. And, you know, it was a done deal, and it was going to happen the next day. I mean, how quick? So, you know, the next morning, I arrived there, I think they were going to hit at 9, and I arrived there, I don't know, 7:30. You know, if I had known that they were going to kill all the cats, I would have opened the doors and let them all out, and at least have a chance. I have the image in my mind of some of them that morning that I picked up and cuddled. I did take one of the birds. One of the conures that I'd had since 2001, I just thought, oh, you know what? I've never been a criminal in my life, but I'm going to be a criminal right now because I'm not going to let them bird. And I told my husband, if they say anything about the empty cage, just say out when you went to feed them. And I took the bird in a small carrier. And that was, you know, I left my own house feeling like a criminal. And I looked and I could see all the horse trailers lined up. You know, by that time, they'd also taken the blind horse. And, you know, they left all the attorney for animal control was trying to say that my employee, who wasn't working for me anymore because they called her, they would say that for $12 an hour, she wasn't feeding the horses. Are you sure she was actually feeding them? And I just, you know, you're trying to tell me that she would actually not feed the horse deliberately? That's insane. While all the other horses are fine, she's not going to feed one horse? That's absolutely a preposterous accusation. You know, she proceeded then to tell me that they were going to take my mother's Pasifino instead of one of the ponies so that my son could have his pony. One of the three. So, they were making a deal with a horse that wasn't even on the property.
Yeah.
And they came. I watched them chase that horse. That poor Pasifino, who was deathly afraid of men, had three men with ropes after him, and they finally had an hour. And you know, eventually, in February. I did get another notice of hearing, but then I had any. This was them trying to hit me up with a $27,000 bill for the care and my animals and also the legal fees. And by then I had an attorney. By the way, the notice of hearing looked considerably different than the ones that I received before. This notice of hearing, which was going to an attorney, suddenly had the duration of the hearing and the whether or not there was going to be a court reporter. How interesting. So anyway, we went to court, and it was about 2 minutes that we were in there, and my attorney had, because the it has to, it cannot be in that court if it's $15,000. And what I don't understand is how they ever how Hitzman ever signed that paperwork. If it was that amount, I mean, isn't the judge supposed to know? So that was out, and, you know, sometime, you know, I never heard about the bill again, oddly enough. You know, they must know, it must be that we're doing something wrong.
Say that last sentences again.
Yes, the reason. Since we never saw that bill again, and my assumption would be that it's because they knew that if they try to contest it legally, it would open
right.
up a can of worms. Now, my husband and I were each charged with one can of animal cruelty for each of the horses, for the two horses, the blind horse. And the elderly horse. They were charging us with one count each, even though there's nothing wrong with either of these horses. And this was after 2 months after the end of the hearing. This is 2 months after they'd already taken the animals. And guess who lets me know that? Logan Neal. He said that he had been in contact with the attorney's office, and they were going to charge me with animal cruelty. And at that point, I freaked out because it was right before Christmas, and I thought, oh, my God, this will be before Christmas.
That's why they do it.
Like he was involved in it from the very beginning. He was getting some kind of cut or something because it sure sounded like it, you know.
Right,
I mean,
he's pretty... Not only that, but he's publishing in his article photographs that were taken by animal control. Now, what appeared in the article on the 31st after the animals were taken away were photos that were taken on the 16th of September before the bird cages were cleaned and before the dogs were groomed. There's a picture of one of my dogs that had long hair. He looked like kind of like a bearded collie. He groomed on the 25th. And all those cages were never seen dirty again. But he still put those pictures in the paper. But he did me a favor because now I have proof that they exist because they're stamped with the date. Not only that, but there was another article that came out where they have a picture of cats. And I couldn't figure out, this is not at my house. This is the cat sitting in a litter box inside a cage at Animal Bowl after they had already made the cat sick. Because according to Zestin, who did for the NAIA, it's an animal organization, obtained partial records of what happened, that some of the cats that they took, they vaccinated for something unknown. But if they had been ill, why did they give them shots? Because subsequently, the one that's in that photograph died at animal control. The picture that they have on the website with the article is the sick cat sick under their hair, not at my house. And my cats weren't sitting in litter boxes. They had like Club Med for cats. So this is misleading. All the photographs are meant to incriminate me. And, oh, my God, reading the articles is nearly impossible because it is just filled with such slander. This, you know, what I say on my page is that this was Logan Neal was banging the drum while Animal Control prepared the fire and the steak.
Well, I wanted to make sure that people know where to go. There's a little website for people like the lady that's on the line with us from Hernando County. The website is called www.awakecentral.org, A-W-A-K-E-C-E-N-T-R-A-L.org.
And there is an article on that because it's in a blog format. And I linked it underneath the post on the Posteris blog where it says wisewomenmedia.posteris.com, where I advertise the radio shows. But down below the post with your picture, Carolyn, and pictures of a picture of the animals, there's comments. And I linked this article there, What to Do When Animal Control Comes Knocking.
Right, and that was given to me after, you know, unfortunately, it was closing the door after the house had been robbed. Very, very unfortunate. You know, people just don't realize that they have rights. They do have rights. And people who own animals have rights. And so often people are worried about the rights of the animals, and that's all well and fine. But everybody seems to lose track of the fact that animal owners have rights as well. People have rights. Human beings have rights. Human beings are born having rights that are not given to you by the government. They are inalienable rights given to you by our Creator. They are what makes the Constitution the Constitution. And these people are trying to take that away from us, and a very, very wrong thing. This search of my house and the excuse that we are allowed to do this when there's a child there, that's not true. That's not true. They need to be able to have, first of all, problems, and that's more than an anonymous complaint, which you know wasn't anonymous. It had to be internal because who else is going to make it? It's too int. And my son wasn't even there. You know, this is totally criminal. And if you don't know, my husband didn't know anything when he signed in that paper. You know, we shouldn't have even been let this property in the first place, because you can't be friends with people like this. Because it's just, again, you know, people say, well, you know, what is that story about the guy, wasn't it, hopping the scorpion to go across the road, or with a frog hopping the scorpion? Isn't there some kind of thing like that? And he says, oh, I promise I won't sting you. And then they get across the thing. And just before he dies, he said, hey, you said you weren't going to sting me. And he said, well, I'm a scorpion. You know, because that's what these people are. You can't, it's going to come out. Their inner nature of who they really are is going to come out, no matter how friendly you are, no matter how aged you are. If you're doing the right thing, it's not going to matter, because they are going to sting you at some point, because that is their nature. They are not a benevolent group of people. And they are certainly not there for the welfare of animals, because all of those were vaccinated. It kept saying in the paper that they were not. And then sometime around November 1st, there was a big fair by the Humane Society. Pet Love was bidding the vaccines for my dogs. How very nice that my dogs got to be vaccinated twice in a row. And probably are still vaccinated, even though they were giving three-year vaccines on the 25th of September.
I
so
think
they don't
they're
care
capturing
about
the animals, and they're using them for testing. I wouldn't doubt it.
It was a publicity stunt to make themselves look good. Christmas time, they were in the paper again, front page, with their lip gloss hats. And who knows how much money. See, it's all about being able to turn around and raise money, because you show people what a good job you're doing. You know, they frame people to then turn it around. They are the judge and jury. They own all the judges. They have the commissioner's son. I don't know if he's the current commissioner, but he was a policeman at the time. He was one of the people that came and caught my mother's horse. So, you know, this is, on one visit, Pace's last visit before Tassoni came, they gave us some free hay from the county commissioner. And I remember someone telling me, oh, that's because those are their horses. You know,
well,
I mean, they already had a mark on them.
Pace didn't even have a driver's license to even run a government vehicle.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's why he got fired.
Well, I want to tell Anita that actually he was he broke down the side of the road, and he subsequently was beaten up and had his dog stolen by someone. And you know, so that's what I heard about was you know, kind of a little bit of comic relief there, because you know, sometimes these people will, you know, it's like a boomerang. What they're putting out will come back. And they'll bring it upon themselves sometimes. Because when you act, you know, it's like the pride comes fall. You know, people like Logan Neal, people like Officer Tassano is in, living in South Florida. People like the something, you know, it will come back to them because they don't, with their cockiness and their, you know, arrogance, they do leave evidence of wrongdoing that they think nobody's going to check. But it really, like I was saying to someone earlier today, it's really level poop. And you can follow it and find foul play.
I wanted to just run down some of these major points in this article, what to do when animal control comes knocking, and I encourage everybody that owns animals, especially here in Hernando County, to go and read this and pay heed to it and discuss it with your family members or anybody else that, you know, is going to be given enough trust to open the door. I mean, I have a hard time even opening my door anymore to anyone because I don't want to know.
Absolutely. I understand. I do, too.
They're not
so, number one.
You don't open the door.
Yeah, these are the major points.
The
when animal control is at your door, number one, do not let them in no matter how much they ask. Now, I encourage everybody to read this article because there is a lot more descriptive stuff in this article. So I'm just giving you the major points here. Two, if you let them in, anything they find in plain sight can be used against you. Number three, do not talk to them from an open doorway. Step outside and close and lock it if possible. Anything, and this is necessary because anything they see through the open doors in plain sight, if they make an arrest or even feel threatened, they are usually permitted to search for weapons in your immediate area. So, you know, they'll consider anything a weapon, even a baseball bat, if your kid plays baseball. That's a weapon. They can make anything into a weapon.
Yeah.
It is hard not to be intimidated by someone in authority. So, you know, if they can get in your house or stick their foot in the door, that's why it's so necessary to close the door behind you.
They cannot go in
without permission. If they claim to have a warrant, demand to see it. If they can't present it, they don't have a friggin' warrant. They're full of shit. Number five, in some locations, dog owners may have obtained special breeder or rescue permits that stipulate the animal control has your permission to enter your kennel at any time. If you have signed such a permit, they still cannot enter against your wishes since you can revoke permission at any time. Remember that. However,
you need an inspection warrant. What that is they have to give you time to clean up your place. They can't just come on your property and just look at your animals. They have to give you an inspection warrant. If they don't have an inspection warrant, that's an automatic win. But the thing is we're not getting our rights. We're not getting any rights. There's a lot of statutes and things that they need to be doing that they're not doing. They just feel free on going to people's houses, stealing their animals, and selling them for Christmas so they can have money. Wrong. You know, I mean, they even broke into my house. They broke into my house. My mother had a metal rod in her hip and her leg. She couldn't even answer the door. They had cameras on my house. They had GPSs. They knew exactly every move I made. They took pictures of me in town. They followed me. They have side people that hide out the animals for animal control that's not in the government so that way they can profit on the side. It is big bucks for them, you know, and they have to hit big rage, you know, and they sit there and they go, oh, this is a puppy mill or something, you know, a line of baloney, you know, and then they give you fraud pictures. And, well, they broke into my house. They broke into my house, chased my animals out of the yard. I had two inside my house. Chiseled out my garage door where the lock was and broke in. Me and my daughter pulled up, and they're all in my yard. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And I asked them, were these doors open when you guys got here? Because I know my mother didn't open them. And my mother died over all this, too. And they sat there, and my mom told me what happened. They came into the house. They chased my animals out of the yard. They took my female because she was the mother of the puppies. And then they said they wouldn't give me a ticket. And said, Sasano said the next day I could pick her up. I walked all the way down there because my car was broken down. And he sits there and says, the county attorney says you have to go make a court date. I said, that's not procedure. You're supposed to give me a ticket. I'm going to get her out of here. And then you give me the court date. And they wouldn't do it. They kept me off the docket. So nobody knew what was going on. And they held it at 8:30 in the morning before the courthouse even opened. Okay, that's how corrupt they are. And they took my female and it just, you know what. And then they came back and poisoned my other one. Okay, and now they're trying to put me in jail on the 10th for having the two that I have that never left the house, that never bothered any sheep, that are lap lickers, that wouldn't hurt anybody. Okay, and it's just wrong. This whole thing's wrong. You're sitting there saying if animal control comes to your door, you tell them to get off your property. You don't even have to go into A, B, and C. They're trespassing. You have a trespassing sign, you stick it out there. They come on your property, they've got to leave. Okay? They have to have an inspection warrant and warn you that they're going to come out and check your property and your animals so that way you have time to sit there and make everything up to par. But
The thing is that people need to realize that, you know, I do know a woman in Brooksville who has a rescue who did win some kind of law. They say that there was something wrong with one of them. She has some kind of a heavy duty job, and she was able to get a good lawyer to help her, and they sort of left her alone. But, you know, she said something disturbing. She's still getting them calling, but they're immediately followed by a protest, which is disturbing.
Say that again, Carolyn. I didn't catch that. Say that
again.
Yeah,
they're immediately, she did win her case against them, and they've pretty much left them. But she, how long? Because she does get calls once in a while. And then they're followed by calls from the press, which is disturbing to me because I'm wondering about the collusion between the press because in all articles came out about animal control.
Can't hear her.
I noticed that the ones that are the Hernando Times, none of them are written by Logan Neal. They're written by somebody else. So why is he suddenly silent on all that, you know? Certainly had a big mouth when it was all about attacking me and somehow propping them up. So, you know, it seems kind of, you know, why would they actually be even calling a rescue over nothing? I mean, it seems kind of odd, isn't it? I meant to ask her what paper it was that was, because it just seemed out of the ordinary. And you know, it's, I'm glad I'm out of the area because, I mean, it seems from afar, you know, it wasn't until now that I've actually even gone to my and, you know, to go through it now, it's almost, you know, surreal that any of this happened or that they actually get away with it. But it was such a rapid fire in this and you know, undocumented goings on. I mean, this thing with my mom being involved when it was severed because there was never any complaint filed against her. And then how could they actually get inspection warrant? And it was signed by the judge. I mean, obviously, you know, you know that he's not a moron, so then he must be guilty. So it's just, you know, unbelievable. To make matters worse, I did have a woman go over there from my AA, who's the one that had partial records of what was going on, and she actually went to animal control and looked at my animals and pretended to be on their side. And so she was given, you know, oh, you know, they wanted everything. And the grass was like chest length. And there were rats underneath the food buckets for the horses. The dogs were being kept in tiny little pens. My guys were 75 by 40 runs, maybe two or three dogs to one of those.
Yeah.
Outside with igloos, you know. And they had lives, they had love, and they had lives. Most of these senior guys were killed. and all of my cats were killed. So how did they all end up being better off? I'm very curious about that. And then the ones that lived got repeatedly vaccinated, which is not good for them. And, you know, on top of that, this Tosona character, he's been watching me on Facebook. I discovered recently the mole that he had, and she was probably, you know, he told this woman from NAIA that he was upset when he'd see I was online at 4 in the morning. That upset him. He also knew that my house was foreclosing, and it was foreclosed in a rapid way, which was later on vacated. The foreclosure was vacated the following June. Change in the title, everything vacated. But at the time, on the main, that's just a couple of weeks after they took the animals, I suddenly had to get out of my house and was facing two counts of animal cruelty. So the foreclosure was Thanksgiving. The arrest was, how lovely. You know, and how did he know about all this? And he was gloating that as they were speaking, him and the woman from the NAIA, house was for sale at that moment on the courthouse steps. He knew about it before I did, because the paper came in the mail the next day. And I had had a bankruptcy lawyer who was watching the dockets, and she was actually going to then file the paperwork to postpone everything until I moved the sanctuary to my mother's. She had 10 acres free and clear, and I was at that point, you know, at some point, you know, when I still had the animals, I was going to move the entire operation to where it was free. You know, it made a lot more sense. But anyway, you know, it's just a tragedy, a complete tragedy, because my mother lost her horse. She lost a couple of her declawed cats, too, because they were at my house until we could clear a place for my employee, because he was allergic to cats. So she lost a couple of her declawed cats, and she had nothing to do with anything. She had to endure routine inspections. Sometimes they would have the police. One time they actually got me out of the bathroom, saying that they thought they heard something in there. And it was the same officer that I had asked for documentation, and, you know, proving that they could be on my property. So this was his way of sending a message to me that if you ask for your constitutional rights, this is what happens. And that was it. When you know, they came, brought me the ashes for the animals, which was disgustingly psychopathic. Tried to shake my husband's hand and put their just wanted to put his hand on my son's head, and I just thought, that's it. I can't live here anymore. Do this. I can't do this. You know, that's what I thought. And I, you know, I'm a peaceful person, but I had to leave because I just wasn't gonna. You know, how much of that could I stand?
Well,
you
also
felt
that coming for your son next, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I really did, because he was being homeschooled, and I really thought, you know, at some point, I know now that you don't have to be doing anything wrong. You don't have to be doing anything wrong. Or they do something with my mother, or something. I don't know. I got sick of them getting her bedroom when she had a nap, going through her covers to see if she was hiding any animals under there, getting me out of the toilet. Now, my lawyer was on the phone with me the whole time when this was happening, and that was the last time. Tony came back one more time after that by himself, and that was the last time I saw them. We moved. We were out of there by the last week of March in 2010. And you know, subsequent to that, you know, after that happened, the appeal that the attorney that I did have that was filed dealt mostly with the taking of the animals and the procedure, the bureau way in which papers were filed. A fitness hearing was the paperwork was gotten for that when there was no complaint against me filed in the lower court. There was no existing complaint against me. You know, just the way in which, you know, you just cannot go into somebody's property and steal their personal belongings. They took all my bird cages. They took all my pet taxis and dog crates. They took everything. They even took empty cages.
Well, I wanted to let you all know we're going down into the last 5 minutes, and I wanted to end with one of Carolyn's songs.
Okay. You know, I'll plug the website. It's www.ourhousehaus.org. And,
Make sure that you all check out the other website, which is awakecentral.org, which is exactly what this show is about.
Talks about confiscations, and I will also add that there is a link to my music page there where a donation can be made, and donations are desperately needed because I possibly help from someone to help me file paperwork in federal court, but I need to be able to pay them. And, you know, any kind of donations will be most welcome. There, you can help yourself to tons of free music there. All my music is always free on my page. I have shows that you can download that other musicians would be selling, but I'm offering them for free so that people can determine the worth themselves and just donate whatever they feel like. Even if it's $1, $2, nothing is too small.
And I wanted to also plug Wise Women Media radio show next Monday, same time at 8 o'clock. Hit up our website at wisewomenmedia.posteris.com. And we do have a WePay link on the post. Please give donations. Every little bit helps.
Yes.
I need to pay the Internet this month, so I'm
yes.
paying online.
Right,
to both of my callers, to Carolyn, thank you for being on the show and definitely building awareness about this whole problem and what's
yes.
going on here in Hernando County, and undoubtedly.
And I'll also keep you up to date if anything happens, you know, because I intend to keep this speed up. You know, I'm not going to let go. So,
and good night, everybody.
Bye-bye. Anita, God bless you. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thank you.
The song is called Hidden Mystery by Carolyn Moss.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
Reconciled, or are the future plans? I've been exiled from my heart. I never met another boy like you. Could make a straight line seem untrue, crooked dark.
Yeah.